We welcome you, and we'll go around the table and have everybody introduce themselves. So I'll begin with myself, Dirk Clayson, DSROA board president. Kathy
Duvall, one of the newest members on the board from St. George.
Ben Clarkson,
I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Dale Clarkson.
Jody Akers.
And Linda Alderman.
Okay, does everybody have an agenda?
Yes.
You seem to have two agendas.
Well, you sat where the extras were.
One of the first things that we want to do is just kind of discuss areas of responsibilities. We have two new board members, Dale Clarkson and Kathy Duvall, and so we need to look at these areas of responsibility under Section 3 on the agenda and see how we want to shake it up. So I'd welcome some discussion on what anybody might be interested in, and if anybody wants the kind of trade assignments that they might have.
I'm open to serve anywhere you want me to. I do whatever you put me wherever you want.
E would be really good for Kathy.
That would be great. I'd be great.
Facilities and cabin maintenance.
No, I'd like that.
I think that would be a good match. Dave Harris is still willing to help on that too. Everybody agree with that?
If Dave can't be there, John will.
Yeah.
John Harris.
Oh, yes.
Excuse me. Seem to be stuck on that. John will help out with that as needed. He mentioned that to me after the last board meeting. Dale, are there areas that you'd like to take on, or Ben, do you want to trade out some areas? Or?
Well, there's been some discussion stuff now that I assumed, and you know, we haven't talked a lot about it. I mentioned it to Jody, but I, with some of the stuff on the water rights and resources, that I assumed that that Dad may take, and I haven't talked to you, but some of that stuff that needs to be proved up on stuff.
Makes some good sense.
I would much rather you take it and the work that you've been doing and follow through with as a board member, because a lot of it, I don't have the knowledge or the, I mean, I can help and know more than some, but not enough to be the main driver on that. And I can do legal and safety if that's the only other one there.
One of the questions on that is, for the board to talk about where they want to go. If they're not going to do much on water and water management, then it doesn't take a lot of time or leadership to not do much. But there's big responsibilities and opportunities there.
Well,
it's crucial.
I think the big thing is, and part of it comes back to budget that we've got to go through, because some of the stuff that we've got to do to follow through on this one that Jody's pointed out to prove up is, get the engineer's stuff up there. And again, I don't know that, that's something that we really have 2010 budget or something, but to work on that so that 2011 we would allocate funds for several, water exploration projects to wrap up what we have and see where we need to be to save and improve on the water rights that we've got. And we make that a big thing next year.
When we talk about that on this agenda, we should probably try to get that approved to do the one that's in the big one right now that expires next September.
Right.
It's like a $700 to $1,000 to get it done. We might want to propose that in the budget this year, if we can. At least we don't want to do that. If we wait next year, we're going to be running out of time. we can...
We'll have a place where we'll discuss that later on. Okay. So right now, let's just decide who's going to be over what areas. So, Dale, I put you down over water. I think we used to have kind of a water committee that you were on.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're on the board, I don't know that it makes sense to have a water committee with you on and Ben on both. And so, and Ben, I put you down to legal and public safety.
Okay.
Okay, everybody good with those changes? I don't think that we hold real rigorous to those lines, that
yeah.
That means that you can't work on other areas or anything, but that kind of means that you're at least the main voice in those areas. Financial report, Linda?
That's in your stack of figures there. Do you want to go into this list of operating expenses?
Wherever that's on the agenda. I don't... Is this where it's on the agenda?
No, I can't remember where I put it.
Number 12, she's got year-end budget review.
I don't think I put this particular title on the budget. I just figured we'd talk about it.
Well, we might as well do it now.
Yeah.
Now that Johnny's here.
Okay. So, does everybody have a copy of that?
Yes. It's in your staff. It's with you.
So I think the most critical thing, we're doing fine to the budget, but we need to decide what we're going to do to kind of make some of these year-end decisions. So if everybody can kind of turn to this page here. That's the page we need to go through.
One of the things that isn't on here that just came in an email this at noon was Paul wants to go to the water class that's coming up, and I can't remember if it's $100. I think it's $100. And then they need to treat the septics and put bug bombs in the cabins and things like that. So they figured that would be about $150.
I thought he said that water class was $500.
$500,
I can look at that. Kathy something about that. Is that right, or was that
No, Paul? No, Paul just emailed.
Yeah,
did you get it? Everybody, you got it then?
I did.
Okay.
$500, he
it was
said
500,
he had
okay.
Lodging taken care of, but the
okay.
classes.
The course that will do his continuing education and
well,
stuff. For the,
so if we pay the $300, or is it going to be
$500? So let's add
pencil
under
that in.
Operating expenses... plus $500 for the water class, and plus $150 for bug bombs.
And septic treatment.
How much for bug bombs?
$150.
So that takes us to a total of about $13,500. So basically, this first part here of operating expenses.
This whole thing is operating expenses.
Okay, but is this added up? This 12,000.
27,000 is operating expenses.
Okay, so this is this category
yes.
here. Okay, and then we have another 12,000 and another mm-hmm. 2,100, so we have a total of 27,000, and so we need to up that to basically 28,000. 28,200.
Kirk, I was wondering on that fuel, $5,000. Do we have a tank full of diesel up there now?
That fuel is coming in. That was ordered already, and they just didn't bring it up because of the mud so far. But
so we do not
unleaded.
Have it up there.
Unleaded,
now.
It's 1,400 gallons of unleaded and 500 gallons of red diesel.
Okay, well, is the other paper shows that we've got $4,000 of diesel setting up there.
On the budget?
Yeah.
We got a delivery earlier in the year.
They got one very early in the spring.
Yeah.
That's in there.
Why do we need that much fuel if the machines aren't moving?
Well, they use the diesel for the equipment that, and the
generator, and
the pump that is pumping the water.
The water pump.
Uh-huh.
The water pump is
not a solar.
No.
That's one.
That's the part.
When they're running the generator that runs the pump and runs the power, the headquarters stuff, that's all
diesel.
And then the unleaded goes in the ranch truck to come to town. And they're not filling up here in town. They usually fill up.
About there.
Yeah, there.
Mm-hmm. No, the unleaded's $2.65 a gallon. Diesel's $2. A little bit more than that. Anyway,
so I think he's trying to top off the tanks before,
before
winter and before the price goes
absolutely.
Down.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, possibly, you know, I don't know whether, you know, there's enough there to get through the winter and not fill it until springtime, but.
Well, if you're out in the middle, it isn't going to be a nice time to take it out.
Usually the last time before it gets bad weather, top them all off so that, you know, and then run them as far as you can into the spring in case it's a wet, sloppy spring and.
I'm just curious to know how much fuel has been used the last year in the diesel area and how much we need. If I was understanding correctly that there's roughly 4,000 gallons setting up there now.
$4,000?
$4,000.
$4,000 I think was spent
about
back in spring or something, was, you know, getting 1,000 gallons.
Because I guess it was about $3 here.
He has a log on it, but, you know, maybe you want to look at it or something where to meter, you know, again, we don't, the red diesel, I'm not sure that it has a...
It has
I don't think it
has.
Yeah, but the unleaded has a gallon meter that they try to keep track of what it's going in.
Okay, the main diesel then is to run the generator.
Right, it's up in the well field. I think they use the same stuff, but it's there in a tank that's going directly into the generator, or they can pull the equipment up to the side of it. But, yeah, we haven't run very many gallons of road grader this year.
No, but I don't know who. Some other people have been using that. I'm not, and it's been a long time since we discussed that. So in the spring sometime, there was other things going on the ranch that they were using the diesel for also.
Well, I'm sure Larry's used 100 gallons or something on the roads.
And some actually bought and paid back also. So, I mean, it's been used. Some of it's been used, so.
Any other discussion on the operating expenses? Okay, so we have $28,000. That is operating expenses. What other costs do we have that have been committed to, but we haven't received a bill yet? For example, the solar panels are
been paid. That's on your.
Okay, but is there anything out there like that?
I can't think of anything. I pulled everything in that I could find to put on this budget, so you know where we were at on
that. And so the total that we have in funds available right now is how much?
Let me pull that up. That'll take a minute if you want to.
Well, you've got $35,000
in QuickBooks
as of October 8th.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put anything into the activity, but.
Where do you put that?
Just off the balance sheet between the bank and what's actually in the bank. State bank has $30,000, savings is $1,600, caretaker account has $3,400. So $35,000. Not sure why accounts receivable is a negative amount.
Accounts receivable.
On the balance sheet.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
So isn't that right? Then we've got $35,412 cash in the bank today.
Right.
Basically, that's all we can count on. I mean, we may get some more assessments or something, but...
Right. So the point, I guess, is that we have been roughly... $7,000 to decide what we want to do with. with for yet other decisions. Do you have the bill from Dave Turley for the ranch house? Has that been paid?
So that's
already been taken out. Okay. And okay, so we have $7,000 we can use to make some decisions with. Do we have a list of the things that we that compete for those funds?
On your budget page, you've got your projects here on page 2 at the top. And then these that you that were given to me over the internet.
Okay, let's just kind of line out some. Clark Lamb repair work is one item that we discussed and actually asked him to go do when he can fit it into his schedule. Reseeding, fall reseeding. The pavilion up in at the fish ponds. We have the gravel that's already been delivered, and that's about $1,000. I just got the bill today for that. Any of these other things that you see besides those three things that we would have for discussion of expenses this fall that we're still trying to coordinate?
Well, what's the Finley cabin?
It's a cabin up in the Wet Meadow area, but guaranteed we're not going to spend a penny more on that in between now and spring.
What about headquarters improvements?
That's been ongoing.
We've pretty well done
most
of those.
Okay.
I don't know of anything, but that's a good question. So that's why I ask, is there anything?
Well, I don't think I'm
we didn't put in a drop tank. I mean, a septic thing yet. We were going to do that.
And do we want to still try to do that this winter?
I was hoping to get it done before. But I don't know what they're...
A septic dump, so let's add that to the list. A dump station.
Where we were just trying to get it to tie into existing septic system. So we're talking...
Well, that would have to be at the ranch house. We're talking about up on top.
Oh.
You're talking about the RV and camping slabs?
Yep, but we're not doing the slabs. We're just going to put a dump first. Unless you just want to do a dump all down at the headquarters.
I don't know if that's up. What I'm trying to do right now is at least get the list. So what is it that we're missing? And then we'll go through and decide, gee, we want to do $35,000 worth of stuff. And we have...
Come in. You can bother us.
...dollars to do it.
Hi, Dale. Hey, how are you, Sonny? I just want to stop in and say hi to everybody.
Oh, I haven't seen you for a long time.
I know. It's been real, real long time.
Where have you been? Hiding in the...
I'm walking and talking. That's all I care about.
Yeah, you're looking good.
I walk in his office and said, come for the meeting. I didn't even know it was a meeting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really? Are you going to sit down? It's
our plan.
Here you go.
What do we have on this?
We're going to decide that here.
Good to see you.
Yeah,
you know everybody here. You probably Jody Akers has been acting in the ranch. This is Sonny George String was one of the very first members up there. Well,
you know that name. You're my neighbor.
Yeah, she's just down off the hill from
you.
Where you're down in the hole?
No.
That little sagebrush flat right north of you.
Yeah, flat right. 20-03.
That's what I said, right?
Down the hole? Okay, I'm down the hole.
Yeah, right. I'll be darned. I did see you then, because I went there one day 8 years ago. I don't know what it was.
Long time. Nice to see you.
Well, you keep going with your meetings.
Well, I can step out and we can talk. How long has it been since you've been up to the ranch?
Last year. I go up every year.
Okay,
I just go up to look.
Just a quick trip.
Getting too old for that stuff. Did you fix your basement over there? You were over there. You were taking out under the house. It's all done?
I'm done.
Good. Okay. Well, I'm going up there tomorrow. I'll go nose over it, buddy.
Good.
You going to be up tomorrow?
I'm not sure yet.
I don't matter. I'll still go over and look.
How muddy is it up there?
I don't know. I haven't been up since last year.
Do we need any batteries?
It's going to be muddy.
For these solar,
I don't care.
Okay.
Do you need a four-wheel drive?
We should. Well, yeah, we have one
here.
We've
got
that hooked them up.
Great
yet.
Clean.
I'm sure they haven't hooked them up.
And in front of my house, it's like
that.
It's
going to
be soft today.
Not weather.
But you'll get through it for a while.
He's in there for rain.
Oh, it'll dry up till tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll get a lot better for tomorrow.
Nice to see you, Sonny.
Okie dokie, you all have a nice night.
Thanks for stopping in.
I'll stop for the next meeting.
Vance, can you hear me?
Yeah, I mean.
Bye-bye.
I'll see ya.
Vance, can you hear me?
Yes.
Do we need batteries for those solar panels?
The ones that we're replacing? No. No.
We are going to have an expense on batteries then. It's just the panels themselves?
Yeah, which you should already have and everything, right?
Yeah, we do. We're just discussing what other expenses we may have to the end of the year.
There was a discussion that the marginal panels would then be taken and put on some of the cabins.
Well, that's sort of what we're trending towards, yeah. We'll need to get them off of there. Unfortunately, we've got six panels, two racks of six panels, and unfortunately, we're going to have to take them all off to get the six good ones all on one rack, you know, it figures. And then evaluate the old ones and see what kind of power we can stick out of them.
So what we're trying to do right now, Vance, is get an assessment if there's any more anticipated expenses this year.
Yep.
Or any projects that we've already started or committed to or think we're going to do.
What have you guys decided to do about trying to berm up the 40,000-gallon tank so it doesn't freeze solid again?
We've decided to do that.
Yeah, but are you paying anybody or is somebody going to volunteer and do it with, you know, stuff we got?
I think we were going to try to do it ourselves.
Okay, fair enough.
Probably have at least some expense for that.
When you're talking Clark Line, you're only talking a dozer, right?
How much?
That is the only thing in looking at there. There's not, I mean, it almost needs to haul some dirt in. I mean, you could dig a hole, but it would be just a big, ugly mess. We really should haul dirt in from somewhere else, you know, if we can dig silt out.
That's a lot of dirt to haul in. And we don't have the money to do that.
We can't take it someplace off the ranch already?
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, to pay to load dirt,
yeah,
take it with a dump truck,
it
takes a lot of dump trucks to make much of a
and how are you going to get it in?
Dent in dirt, and that, I mean, you'd have 500 dump truck loads to fill up that hole that would be there, I would guess. So that's a lot of man hours.
So what are you saying? What are you recommending then?
I think we better find some way to shape the dirt that's there, even if we have to, you know.
Well, if we are, then
enlarge the size or do something. I mean, you know, that's what we kind of talked to Clark about, was getting his dozer up there and moving enough dirt around to recontour that and do something with it. So, you know.
What's the availability of getting the dozer on the other side of that tank? That's pretty close in there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing is, if we had a front-end loader, we could, mm-hmm, just over the road that runs east and west up the north end of the airfield, go over and take a big area and take the whole thing down 18 inches or 2 feet, you know, without loading it in a dump truck, or a front-end loader that could scoop it and run it 20, 30 yards and dump it and compact it in there. He may be able to push it that far with the dozer, but I do think, yeah, I mean, as far as... But at the same time, I don't you know, we don't want to remove the trees for 100 yards around it and dig a big hole and make a moat. You know, it's got to be picked up and dropped, I'm afraid.
The front end, the little dozer would be a lot easier to manipulate around there.
A big front end motor that would hold like 3 yards per bucket. You know, again, Clark's the only one that has one of those.
I think we send Clark up there. We tell him we got this amount of money that we're going to spend for you. Fix it. What ideas do you have? And Dale can coordinate with him. And you know, there's a lot of dirt back in the part of the leg that goes back up and backs up before it dumps into the channel that could be, you know, brought into there. But anytime you start doing multiple equipment and exchanging dirt around, your expenses have really gone up, and we just don't have it. We're going to be deciding how come we can't do most of these projects. So I don't know that we can, you know.
Well, put that on the list because that is a priority. Whatever, there's going to be some expense there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got it on the list. Okay, so here's the list so far. Clark Lamb, reseeding, pavilion, dump station, and berm up the culinary water tank. The pavilion, I would suggest, we've got the gravel, we have to pay for that, and I think we're too late in the year to do the cement at this point. I would suggest moving it to next year, pay the $1,000. So that takes us down to $6,000. And
the gravel?
Yes.
Oh.
And so dump station, my guess is that takes a backseat to Clark Lamb work.
It's not going to be used till next year. There's no reason to install it this year.
Okay,
and
so
we have to go in there
cold.
Perk test.
We hold up on that. Berm up the water tank, I think we have to do. Probably the highest priority.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of a sub-town of Clark's, but
probably
it's a top priority for him to do.
Something that we could use Clark's help with, at least. So if we had Clark up there to do a combination of the things that he needs to do, including that. So that kind of takes us to maybe the priority is in between Clark Lamb money and reseeding money. We went through and did a reseeding budget, and they, based on the acreage we need to reseed, the seed cost is about $5,000, and the cost for them to do the reseeding was $7,000. So, you know, we've got no ability to do all of that either. I did take Mike Noel up there, and we looked at a lot of the stuff. Most of the airstrip, the crusted weed is coming up good. He thinks that's a good stand that we ought to just
leave alone
and manage, and maybe spray the sunflowers in the spring to manage it better and free up, you know, more of the grain. But the well-filled and broad hollow, probably in particular, if we don't put something into them, they'll probably grow something
noxious weed,
undesirable, the way they are right now. So I would say we could probably cut that budget in half by taking out, you know, some of those areas. So if we've got $6,000 and we said, Clark, you use $3,500 and let's get what we can there, that'd give him about
4 days on the blade, on the dozer work that he could do, 3 or 4 days, and use the rest of it to reseed as judiciously as we can, wherever we think is a highest priority.
Do you think Johnson would do what is needed and not be paid until first year?
They sure don't want to. I talked to him again today and told him I'd call him after this meeting. But they're, you know, chasing cash. And I don't really, I mean, I think we can make the cash flow work even if we did that. I just, you know, don't want to overspend what we don't have. But
again, I guess I'm still back on the fuel. Can we cut a couple of $1,000 off that fuel bill?
Well, is it already ordered and delivered?
It's already ordered. It may be delivered today, but because today was Monday was the day that they were going to, they couldn't hold the price until past Monday.
There's several things in here I'd like to cut, but I've said it before and I haven't been supportive. I'd shut off every telephone. I'd shut off every single one. To pay $150 a month, you know, $150 to have internet up there, which they're using, like right now they can't use phones anyway. I know that one's yours.
Internet's $50.
Right. And that's $50 a month, so $150 between them. But to spend $480 on some of the phone, some of those things I still think, I just would rather see more of these projects get done and get the ranch ahead than...
Phones are $150 for the actual Altel phone.
Per month.
Per month, yes.
What Ben's saying is...
Oh, to the end of the year?
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, what on your budget, you got $480 to Altel.
And to the end of the year. Of course, I'm a person that likes to communicate, but I don't understand how you could be there and not have... communications, except for the internet, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you haven't been able to the last week anyway.
Yeah, it's been rough though, but I don't know.
I guess we did 30 years without phones.
I know you did.
that's where our problem is from where, you know, 30, 40 years ago when we had money to do some of these projects, we don't because insurance... Workman's comp,
yeah.
You know, all those things have you know, quadrupled, and the budget hasn't quadrupled, so all we're going to do is squeeze out everything to be able to do capital improvements and continue to build the ranch, and so that's a tough thing. But as far as my voice on as a board member and the members...
Don't be too discouraged, though, because we've done more capital
improvements. No, I agree. By squeezing these pennies and try to manage the money better, we've done a lot the last couple of years, no question.
We did get rid of part of the phone bill. That part that South Central was, I had the actual ranch number ported over to the cell phone, and that's the only bill we have now on that one. That's all part of that Altel. There's three phones on that, so that did cut it back. We did listen. I did cut that one back, so that helped. And I've also gotten a plan in there that's cheaper than it's been for quite a while, so that's helped. But I know a lot of people call up to the ranch to find out how the roads are, different things like that, just find out what's going on.
And if they said, you have to email and wait 24 hours, you'll get response.
Yeah.
People would be fine with that.
Yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
I think that we're wasting money.
Well, let's eliminate the phone set. I mean, I use them all the time to call Paul, to call Linda, or whatever, but,
I think
we can get by without phones, it's... Let's eliminate them, and then 3 or 4 months later, let's see how painful it was.
Do the Braytons have a private phone, or do we provide all phones for them?
Yeah, that's the only phone.
What if an emergency happens and they had to dial 911?
They won't be dialing it without phones. They'll be using the internet.
Yeah, and they can have a paper minute phone up there that would cost us $20 a quarter to dial 911 when that happens.
Would that work up there?
Sure. A cell phone just like the email. If we're only using that for bleeding emergencies.
Vonage.
Yeah. Well, no, just any prepaid phone minute phone that there's not a monthly fee. You just
Is there anything else you're thinking of besides that? Is there any other thing we can draw?
No, that's the only one that I was just seeing on this list. There's more when we go through next year's budget. You know, I mean the whole thing that to do, and we did. You're right, Linda. So I adjust mine because we did cut out one phone line and stuff.
On the AmeriGas has just been up there and filled the tanks.
Yeah.
And is that just $2,000?
Yes.
Is that about what they charge?
I think so. We haven't gotten bail on that yet, but yeah, they are. I called them to go out there. I think they have. I'm not certain on.
They were up there. A week ago today.
That's right. You're correct. You're correct.
Or filling my tank. They said they filled it last Friday.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So this is. I haven't gotten that bill yet from them, so that's what that is.
I would still cut some out of the fuel, and maybe keep the telephone.
We can ask Paul and see if there's some that he can get by with or adjust it. You know, that's where we had gotten them. Is this even Jenkins?
It's not Jenkins.
See, we burned out them, and they won't go anymore.
Rolled us over. So, yeah these folks are out of St. George, and the price is good, better than it was. So
they're not charging us a delivery fee or anything?
No.
That was the thing with Jenkins, because we kept only getting half a tank, and so they refused to go up there anymore. We kind of burned them out, I think.
Actually, what happened is they went down the road and it rattled out a light bulb, a front light headlamp, and something else fell off of the truck, and the bill for the repair on the truck at Buttons was $480, and they wanted to charge us a $500 delivery fee for coming out for the next delivery that we had, and we were just like, no thank you.
So we shut it off, and we didn't deliver when we normally would have. You know, I made Paul just get 5-gallon gas cans for a while till we found other options because, you know, it was during the time where nobody would maintain the roads.
That's when they found these folks.
Well, I didn't just mention that to Paul. If he thinks, you know, to have him buy enough fuel to make sure that safely we get to the spring, you know, or whatever.
Well, let's take $1,000 out of there, or $2,000. That's what we're saying, right? So, okay, we'll take $2,000 out of there and add that to the seeding activities.
Can that be modified where the fuel has not been delivered yet?
I'll have to call to find out, so.
I don't know. I think in this meeting, all we can say is if it's an expense that hasn't been incurred, we're going to cut it back.
Okay.
If it has, then we probably are obliged to pay the bill.
Can I just ask a question about this reseeding? Would you just tell me what it is?
I
know it has to do with what the Johnsons...
Yeah, the Johnsons had done their reseeding or seeding projects, agriculture projects, for a couple of years where we said you can use the land and you can... take the crops off of that. They anticipated receiving more of a financial gain than they did. And so it didn't, after 2 years of trying that experiment's not proven to be viable to plant seeds that would need to be mechanically harvested.
No, it's not.
And so now we need to look at maybe planting something that's more for the grazing area.
For the ranch's benefit?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't get all those sunflowers?
Well, sunflowers are probably not the biggest concern, but yeah.
But part of the problem was this year, we have areas
that we need to seed into some type of an annual.
Some of the stuff that, you know, like the airfield that they plowed and they seeded and stuff, some of the crested weedy sand still coming up and stuff. But Broad Hollow, they didn't do 2 years ago. They did this last year, but what they seeded didn't come up for sure.
Well, that area right next to our property is a disaster. There's nothing that came up but sunflowers.
Right, right.
The sunflowers are coming
right
all over at our property.
The ranch.
Yeah, and they look terrible. And it's going to cause erosion.
That's what Dirk's saying is if we don't do something this fall and just let it go fallow for another year, we'll get more sunflowers. But if if it's just a dust bowl.
That's right.
And we get some heavy rainstorm and we get a, you know, a 20-foot gully ripping up through there, that's the big,
absolutely,
you know, problem. There's some that maybe would be okay.
Was there any kind of agreement with the Johnsons before we started this? What would happen at the end of their tenure with the property? Nothing predestined to this.
No, it's okay. They were hoping that it would be profitable enough that we would sign with them a 10-year continuing lease for an economic benefit to them and to the ranch.
But we didn't take into consideration what would happen to us. This $12,000 then is a result of giving them a chance to do this, right?
Well,
the ranch needed attention and has for years.
I think it
needed to be reseeded. A lot of these areas should have been done. And we had the opportunity at that time to say, well, we're going to do a reseeding. We're going to put into some type of a perennial crop, in which case we would have incurred the $12,000 then.
Well, yeah, if we had done nothing the last 2 years with Johnson's, instead of looking at $12,000 to reseed, we would be looking at $75,000
okay.
to plow, level for 2 years now,
okay.
and reseed. So we are far, far better and better ahead. They've gone through and plowed 2 years in a row and smoothed up those areas,
yeah.
and gotten rid of the big sagebrush and the rocks and a lot of stuff. So now we've got a pretty good seed bed, you know, prepared if we just can...
Do we need to do all the $12,000 in seeding, or can we do that? Evidently, we're going to have to do part of it, right?
Evidently, we can't
Inception.
Do it all because we
right.
don't have the money. So we're going to have to do...
The highest priority. Just say, here's a dollar as much as we can, and then try to spread it on the highest priority areas that will, you know, prevent erosion. For example, there by your place... The sunflowers, when they are blooming, look beautiful. I mean, we get as much compliments as anything, and they will hold the soil where there's not going to be erosion. I'm not as nearly as concerned about that as some areas where that may just be dirt, dust bowl to blow
oh.
dust. And
before
then,
before those sunflowers
monster.
Came up, it was a mess. It
yeah.
was just... Oh. Okay, just so I understand.
Well, and it will likely be somewhat of a mess no matter what we do in the spring, and... But once this seeding takes place, then it wouldn't be something we'd be doing every year.
So do the sunflowers come up every year?
Well,
what's the secondary field that comes up after that?
The plants that we would be planting would be grasses and stuff.
It would start to stabilize the ground and choke out the sunflowers.
Would stay there. And
do we seed that sunflower?
No.
Area? We just leave that go? Or?
Oh, no. That.
We have not purposely put the sunflower seed in.
No, I know that, no.
Yeah,
I'm
that
there's
sunflower
gotta, what, I was
area,
just
I, let me show you a map and maybe
okay.
that'll help.
I was just wondering what normally, I mean, like, when we have a fire, the first, you know, this comes and then that comes and then that
right.
comes. So what comes after sunflowers? What weed do we get next? So does it come back by itself? Will the sage come back by itself?
The sagebrush will come back. If we don't do anything, then the sunflowers will get less and less, and we'll start to get some natural grasses that just blow in there, and the sagebrush and stuff will start to grow again. I mean, it'll be, you know, several years before it's
We're
established.
Not looking to have the sagebrush.
And we really don't want that. That's why now that we, you know, it's taken this time to choke it out to get something in there. But instead of planting an annual like... You know, some that they've tried to plant and kill it. What Dirk, I think, is saying is to plant something that's more of a perennial that then we plant it once.
So this is where your lot is, I think. Is that
yep.
right?
Yep, that's it.
So this is the area here that we've
mm-hmm.
calculated, 22.5 acres that
mm-hmm.
needs to be planted into a stable crop. This area here probably would just be mowed and not disturb the soil. This area across here, 27.8 acres, needs to be dealt with. And so, you know, all the areas here in red are acreages that we need to, you know, put our first priority on doing something. So that's kind of the lower area of the ranch. And then up in the upper areas of the ranch around...
Broad
well filled, that's kind of the next section there. This area here is the only area that probably needs to be planted, and then up in the broad hollow area, we've got those sections. And we do have a little section up at the head of the meadows that
you know, wasn't successful. So okay. Those are all areas that we have tried to develop a plan. We came up with some ideas of what could be done with each of them and what the cost would be, and that's where we're, you know, substantially short of doing what.
So your $12,000 figure would be to disc and plant all those areas, basically.
All of them that are in red here.
Seeds 5,000, labor cost 7, so that's 12. So what are we talking about, grasses, just natural grasses?
No, there's probably going to be a combination. We'd actually get with the Division of Natural Resources and let them help us recommend a seed mix and get that from Maple Leaf Seed up in Ephraim. And so it'd be a combination of some legumes and grasses. And
we need to do that soon, don't we?
Well, we should have done it 3 weeks ago.
Before the rain.
But, yeah, we need to do it soon. And so, but, like I said, at least the good news is the airstrip is probably not going to turn into something harmful for the most part if we leave most of it. But there are these other areas that nothing good is growing, like the area next to your place, you know, needs something planted, and nothing good's going to happen until we do, you know, plant it.
Do we have the equipment to plant it?
We don't, and that's why...
That's the labor part. I mean,
we can't do it ourselves, and we don't have anything.
Dirk, I paid for a lot of seed on that north end last year and maybe would be able to pay for it again this year up where the big trees are in the north end of the wet meadow.
Did anything come up up there?
But the brush didn't come either.
Yeah.
So it's still clear and the willows aren't too bad.
It's still, we're making progress, but a lot of this is still a little bit of a gamble in that, you know, if the rains don't fall at the right time.
It doesn't wash your
There's a reason why every rancher in the county's broke.
Oh, yeah, because the rains have just washed them.
I'd still like to see that was our only equipment that we cut the rest of those willows up there.
Well, the mowing and stuff. We, you know, all this, he's got mowing and stuff. We do have the equipment to do that, and we need to still get a schedule to have Paul do that.
And I'd hate to lose those willow areas. So one of the board could insist that those willows be cut this year.
I declare it and insist it, and have done a couple of times, but I'm not sure that.
Which areas are you talking about, the willow area?
Why don't we have Brent here?
There's a leak, a water leak that Brent and Paul are dealing with.
Are they not coming in? Because I was going to write them with them.
They're probably not.
I can just get them all in.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'll call Mike and tell him to go ahead and go then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that's enough discussion. We need to get back to the numbers.
So round numbers, if we can cut 2,000 out of fuel, that'd give us 7, and if we split it half and half, that would give us 35 for Clark Lamb and 35 for seed.
Okie dokie.
35. Didn't we decide that we had 7,000? I mean, 1,000 rather than...
We had 6,000.
We had 6,000.
And so we're going to add 8,000 to that, so we would have 4,000, 4,000.
Okay. That's what I mean, both of them are top priority.
7,000. We had to take out 1,000 for
fuel.
No, the gravel.
Gravel, right.
So we had 6,000.
Right.
We're going to add 2,000 from fuel. Okay. Over there to give us 8,000.
Okay.
Speak now or forever hold your peace. Those are the year-end projects we're going to move forward with.
Okay.
Item 5, update on water issues. We're going to now turn this over to Dale. So, Dale, the Leaf Springs 40,000-gallon water tank water system expansion PRV valve you know, items B and C here, the 40,000 gallon water tank and the PRV valve are items that we're working on, funded. We have paid for the tank repairs, and that work's all been done. The PRV valve and the stuff that needs to go along with that have not been done because of the heavy rains. So when it dries up, we need to...
Is there going to be much expense on that, or have you already bought the valve?
He's got the valve.
We got the main valve. We wanted to put in some different valves on the cabins and stuff. So there may be some small amount of expenses.
But I think even some of those he has. I mean, he's done the valves to the fire hydrant, the red, the freeze-proof faucet so that he can isolate them. And a lot of those he has.
But at this point, we have no, we're not budgeting anything for that. So whatever they have to pay for, we'll have to somehow fit between the cracks of our budget. But I think items B and C should be done by the time we have snow flying, and we'll have a great celebration because those have been problems for a lot of years. I suspect that the leak that they're having problems with today is because the PRV valve is not in.
Yeah, once that's in and they can fill the tank and you know, use the whole system, it'll help. They alleviate a lot of the problems. So I think the big thing for, you know, my wrap-up or whatever is what we've talked about and stuff as far as leaf spring and then the water right in the well field that needs to be proved up on as far as getting the engineers and stuff to do that. And again, all that, you know, we can do that work now and still budget and pay for that out of next year. There's not a lot of work that they're going to be able to do in the next 30 days or anything. I mean, some of the stuff is stuff that needs to be done for the proof of the water right and stuff. I mean, engineers need to do some work, but I think some of that we can still delay and pay for in next year's budget.
Like hold off the engineer until like April or May? Or
No.
Get
him up there tomorrow and tell him we're not going to pay him for 2 months, and he'll say fine.
Okay.
So what engineer?
I don't
and
know.
What
that's
did,
your job.
What did Bullock Brothers already do when they did the book?
The book's the last thing. That's what we talked about, whether now that Bullock doesn't exist, this engineer that you had up there that they recommended, that we've got to get, and that's, again, a thing to discuss and finalize, is to help groom the new Deer Springs engineer, whatever firm that is, I'm assuming the one that you've been working with.
I'm not overly, I got a proposal from him, and I told him to go ahead on one phase of it. But if he doesn't do better in the next 6 weeks than he had in the last 6 weeks,
I think between
the
projects that Dirk is doing or aware of, and the Water Conservancy, and some of the stuff that we got Rosenberg that has an office here in town that's doing water rights stuff for
that man
for me.
Was out at the hotel and said he's been working with you. And I think he might come over and moonlight that thing and do a good job. He's no longer with Rosenberg. He's it's a paving company that did our parking lot stuff out there. But he has full credentials. And he talked like he'd like to do some things over here.
Either that or I don't know what Tebow is able or, but I'd like to get somebody that's committed to the area, that has some ties. So it's not just another engineering firm that when employees turn over, we lose all momentum,
I hate that.
Do you have a proposal from that guy, Dale? From the one you contacted?
Yeah.
What's his proposal come in at?
Oh, it's a proposal for $20,000 worth of...
But not on DSRA stuff.
So maybe we should submit it to him to get him to give a proposal on proofing up this one.
Before we know how much
it's going to cost.
But that's the work we need to do right now. Everything we really need to do is paperwork, and even if they need to go up and measure some flow or something, I think we've got that kind of data. It's them doing paperwork to file.
I don't think we need the flow and stuff. And Bullock Brothers, even though they sold, my guess is that they've got the full paperwork on documents that they've done. Most of those engineering firms are very responsible to keep the information on file and retrievable. And I'd like to get with them and find out, because Bud Rhodes' son is the one that's in that new firm. And so they have done other work up there.
But don't you think it's feasible to get Bud Rhodes' son or whatever research and get what we've already basically paid for and stuff, but put that together and not need any money between now and the end of the year?
I think that's
just look at this all proved up on. Any groundwork and stuff done in the spring end, have them, you know, do a better plan on the 40,000, the leaf spring and some of that to start looking, you know, next spring.
I guarantee you that the well, that the legal description of the well location is documented somewhere.
Yeah.
So to have a firm come in and resurvey and locate the well.
It's redundant.
I think it's not necessary.
And we need somebody, and I think they'll turn over that information. I mean, somebody that respects them and has a working trust in that, so that they can take that and run with it.
Talking with the engineering firm that I talked with, she said if the maps, she'll come out and look at it, and if the maps are close to what it still is, or shouldn't go off the old maps.
You know what company have you?
Yeah, it was DNF Engineering, Linda Day. And she came in at 700 to 1,000. But she said she would need to do take the flow readings.
Yeah,
and they're going to want
to do
that
proof.
And to put their stamp on
but
it.
But if we're just talking about doing a proof, Josh Beezer can go up and do that. It's really.
And that's what I'm saying. I really don't want to start with an out of town or somebody. Unless we know him, Rosenberg.
The problem is the people that normally do the proofs. And basically, there's a whole group of them. They go on the internet. They see when the proofs are due. So then they send letters to everybody saying, "Oh, your proof is due. We'll do it." That's kind of their marketing thing.
Where's that firm out of?
Right. They're not the same type of engineer that you would have designed a water system that you're going to get state approval on typically.
Yeah, she's not a driller or anything like that. They just
right.
engineer
they
stuff.
Just, right.
They did Fred's Tunnel?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did Fred's.
Proof.
Yeah. Or did systems.
Lanny Talbot, Josh Beezer will do proofs, and I think they'll be that price.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter who it is. It's like,
I just like to get somebody with
connections. Well, I'm just saying there are two separate issues in my book. Engineering the water system, trying to get a budget and a proposal together that we could go to the Water Conservancy with or something like that. You're going to need a firm like Sunrise or Rosenberg or somebody that, you know, has got some, you know, good ties and some good respect in that industry. I think Tebow has done some extensions to our existing systems, and they're getting a lot stronger and more capable at it. And they will be here for a long time, and it is sure good to work with them. A lot of this kind of depends on what we're going to try to shoot for, you know. What kind of an engineering firm I think we work with if you're kind of trying to do, you know, a water system for four lots, then Tebow is more than capable of doing that. If you're going to try to design something that we're going to go get funds from the Utah Division of Drinking Water to assist us with putting in a system or something, we're probably going to have to work with a firm like Sunrise. So,
I think top priority is to whoever is the cheapest to you take the research that's already been done and fill out some of the paperwork to file the proof on that before we, you know, we've got time. But if you think Tebow can do it here, or do it question if you
Josh Beezer, he works for Tebow, but he will do these on the side, and it as a result is less expensive.
The lady at the Division of Water Rights implied to me that the proof was already there, but the map for documentation is what they needed. Now, it may be that we need to go to the senior office and see the proof or get copies of whatever has already been submitted.
Yeah. Well, they've already submitted the proof, and it's just missing a couple of details.
That was when I first called and talked to her. She sounded kind of complicated, and then she said, oh, there was a lady called me yesterday, and we looked at the map, and it's kind of simple.
And that was Bullock?
No, this was a water in the state.
But, I mean, who is the engineering firm that...
Yeah, I didn't ask.
Well, now, she has a proof for the, 1992, the first original, but there's no proof on the second, point of the diversion. There is no proof for it.
Well,
that's what they're asking us for now. We've got everything else done on that. We're just getting that proof, a new one.
So if we need to do the proof, then we do need to do a flow test. However, they did part of that in this report here.
Well, and Vance, are you still there?
Yes, I am, Dirk. Go ahead.
I think you guys did some flow work already on that, didn't you?
No, the DDW people came out and we went through. I have a postponed sanitary survey in place right now, waiting for the tank to get done. In the well log, there are of course flow records, and that. Some of that stuff was witnessed by DDW, not DWR. What the big problem here seems to be is that we got zapped in the early 00 area for letting too many people haul water from an unapproved system. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So we kind of got put under the gun, started a very long process of years of trying to find out what we'd have to do to meet the standards for allowing people to haul, in other words, getting an approved system. Bullock got hired basically with the mandate to get that done. And they did. You know, they did. They focused like a laser on getting us an approved system. However, the fact that drilling a new POD triggered off the need to revise, not necessarily make a complete new proof, but revise our existing one, fell through the cracks. You follow?
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. What I hear from Jody and Dale and other people is it sounds like we need to take our Bullock Brothers drawing, the CAD file, which I have, Barbara gave to me many, many years ago, and merge it with the irrigable acreage drawing from the 90s, okay? Because the Bullock Brothers drawing shows system details that DDW wanted and shows nothing about irrigable acreage.
Right.
So I think if we can merge those two and get them stamped by a new engineer, that's what they want.
That sounds good. Do you have the ability to merge those drawings or to provide them separately?
I can. Yeah, I have. The one drawing is the one Jody's showing there. You know, the old one that Kimball did.
Yeah.
Okay. That just pretty much shows irrigable acreage. The bullet drawing is full of lots of little details about pipe size and RPVs and other things that DDW loves to see as the regulating agency for drinking water.
Right.
But it's an accurate system map, okay, much more accurate than the one Kimball did because he kind of went off of information that well, we think it goes here, but we're not really sure, and you know, yada, yada, yada.
Could we get a copy of that map then?
Is that you can email?
Yeah.
As electronic.
Hey, yeah.
Why don't you email
it? Take it around the ranch. I've seen copies of it. Oh, last time I saw it was many years ago in what's the tool shed now?
Don't worry about Vance. I've got a copy here. They can make copies off of that.
Okay, but you know, this is. It just sounds like that
approved too.
But the POD routine, the second POD routine, just it, what it triggered off with DWR just fell through the cracks.
What he's saying is, remember,
well,
these that are both Kimball maps with what's in your book that were Bullitt Brothers that have the valves and the system design.
If we're going to get a new proof done, though, we may need to irrigate acreage and have an engineer verify that that's such.
Well, but we're just trying to proof the culinary side that they, you know, filed for the seven residential families.
But, yeah, what it amounts to, the short version is, we changed the system and we didn't tell DWR. Okay?
Right.
That's what happened. We added another well. DDW knows about it because they required us to have it. DWR knows nothing about it.
Well, didn't we get a new point of diversion?
Right, but then we never submitted a proof for it.
Right, so they do know about it. We just didn't finish
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and that's why we, you know, we keep getting extensions on A25301, which
all right,
is
well,
diversion.
Lanny Talbot or Josh Beezer are my recommendations.
Well, does he have another map other than these? You said he did. I'm asking to merge two maps.
Well, he has the Bullitt map, the Bullitt drawings, which is a CAD file.
Right.
That's not what you have in your head.
Right. That's why he still needs to
email.
Can
he email that?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, if you'll email those, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have to get an engineer to do that. And you know, the only two that I know that are local that do it, and do it in a way that we could explain the whole thing to them, and they could even tell us, yeah, but before I do it, you better, you know, show that you've got some pipes irrigating this or whatever, would be those two.
Paul's on his way.
So, but I think that can be an assignment, Dale, that we give you to research and move forward with. Good. Is that good enough?
Okay.
And you have the all the information there from the old one drawings and from the Bullitt CAD drawings. I also have a copy that I got somewhere.
Yeah, if you could get that to me.
So, and Vance, when you email it, will you email a PDF version or the CAD files?
I'll email both of them.
Okay, if you just email both of those, then that'll be great.
Okay.
Okay. And so then you can print it out, and we can give the CAD file to whoever the engineer is you decide to work with. And so, Jody, maybe you could give Dale this contact in Panguitch or whatever as one of several people that you could evaluate.
He's got it already.
Okay. So, is that a sustainable action item to get us moving forward on that?
Hey, Dirk?
Yeah.
I would suggest just one thing, that we separate this issue, the HQ well issue, from the more blue sky things of a ranch-wide situation. This needs to be, we should have plenty of time, but we've already been working on it for 3 months, and we're basically right where we started. So we're going to run out of time.
Well, we're just looking right now to prove up on what we can prove up on, right?
No, there's other things. I know you guys have you know, there's wet meadow plans and leaf springs plans and, you know, lots of plans, but this thing has a deadline.
Right, no, this is an actionable item by itself, independent of leaf springs, independent of Metal Canyon.
Right, excellent. That's what I was getting at. It just wasn't clear in your discussion.
Right, so we'll call this the lower headquarters proof.
Yeah, I think it's just call it an update the proof. I really think that from scratch is not necessary. We've already surveyed the irrigable acreage and declared it many, you know, times in the past. That's done.
Update it. Yeah. However, my experience with Division of Water Rights is that they may still want to see recent evidence of the irrigated acreage. So, but that's a question that whoever the engineer is that Dale works
with. Right. And they may want to come out. We've got some great pictures of them down there harvesting stuff in that area from summer, so.
Yeah, so
if you have any of those handy, email that too.
I don't remember who sent them to me, but I can try to find out.
Well, I took some, so maybe. The thing is, they'll want to see evidence of how we irrigated that, but we could maybe cross-contaminate that a little bit. Okay. Next item on water.
So you covered A, B, C, D.
All right. So we added this as an item D.
Yeah.
Okay. Agriculture and wildlife. Fencing. I had Taylor Button go up and look at all the fencing. And he's going to put together some estimates for us. And he did have a few good suggestions, but some things that I didn't remember. The fence that's in the east end of the meadow, the west end of the meadow that goes over the hills, he said, you know, that was all used wire, used posts. You know, that's why it's not done well, you know, in addition to, you know, how it's the snow load and the different things in there. So he said, you know, I'm not surprised that that looks like it does, but he says there's no saving that. You know, you can tighten it up again, and it, and if you tighten it up, it'll just break. You know, he looked at several sections of it, and so he really thinks that that fence needs total replacing, not just tuning up.
The west side?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think he talked to Paul about a few different maintenance techniques and stuff that were educational for Paul and helpful. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these will all be things. And I, he said, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to try to do this fall and just have one more winter's wear on a fence, you know, so let's wait till the spring. And so I'll get the numbers from him, and that'll be part of our budget discussion when we set the budget for next year.
Will be from Terry?
Yeah. Okay. The metal crops, I don't know what that is. Does anybody know what that is?
Well, I have a question that fits that category that we touched on before. Now that Paul's here, maybe you can tell us, Paul, of the... We were talking about reseeding and budgeting and stuff. But in the meadow, you know, you did go up and mow some of the willows.
Right.
You have an estimate.
Change that to meadow mowing. Willows mowing.
The willows mowing, because we talked about, you know, to try to get those still down.
Right.
There's
still, I'd say...
How many acres total and how much have you mowed?
Since I've talked to you, I haven't mowed any.
Right. But before the annual meeting, what you got done?
I don't know how many acres, maybe an acre or two. There's still another section, the section that I fenced off. I'm going to go and pull the posts and mow that. And then, I don't know, you said there was another area up there. Is that right below the dam? Is that the one you were talking about? Because I was looking at another area on the, in between the meadow and the ponds. There's another area right in there that I was looking at it. But I think I could spend another 2 or 3 days up there and
you get all those. Days.
How many days do you think you spent?
Yeah, I spent maybe 5 hours on just that one section.
That was what I was thinking of, just a partial day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
My guess is that a half day you'll finish the other area.
I think so.
So not 3 or 4 days, I think.
Well, I was looking at going through, and which I don't know if it'll help that thistle that's around. I think going and chopping it down by hand.
Now that it's the best thing, I think, now that it's seeded, is don't even touch it unless you're going to burn it.
Right.
If you mow it or even chop it by hand, all you do is spread the seed. If you just leave it alone, and then we get on spraying it and stuff when it comes up next year.
Right.
Anything that you disturb or run over the tractor only breaks the surface of the soil and gives more place for seed to take root.
Right.
So I think if he takes the Kubota up there and does these two areas of standing willows and maybe even do some of the rose bushes below the fence.
Right.
Would make a marvelous difference.
I agree.
In that area.
And I
bet one full heavy day would do all those things.
I got to apologize. I've been busy trying to get ready for winter. This last week was kind of an eye-opener for me, but I think we get a few of these projects done. I think we'll have some sunny days and some days that I can get up and brush off.
Okay. Well, we had talked about that before as far as being a top priority, something that we do have the equipment and stuff to be able to do that's really not a, much of an added expense.
Right. I got the sprayer ready to go
if
we were going.
What's that?
Can you do it if it's soggy?
No, it's going to be critical to wait sometime next week. Again, I know he's got other projects, but as soon as this rain isn't totally soggy and dries out, but before we get the first snowstorm in November, we're done.
Yeah, for sure, then you can't do it.
Well, I'm sure I could. I'm sure there's going to be days that I can get up there. I actually went the other day to get the Kubota to bring it down to the house. I had a flat tire, and I ended up putting out another fire somewhere else.
And some of it, I mean, if it gets cold and starts freezing, it's great as long as we don't have snow. I mean, if you get up there in the morning when it's still frozen and well, for 3-4 hours for 2 days straight, just in the morning would be great. You just leave the mower there, and the next day...
Is the tractor all fully operational, front bucket, everything ready to go for winter?
It's good.
Okay, good deal. Okay, cattle guards, we got the first one. We know where we're going to put it, and we hope that we got something that will lift it.
That sounds good. Hey, how are you moving them?
Well, we'll be able to move it.
So we'll drag it onto a trailer and drag it off, and you may not be able to lift it, but you can drag it.
I think temporarily, this is my plan, is I'm going to take it from the blocks, set it down, and drag it out of there somewhere, I'm not sure where, just to kind of get it out of there, because it is a pain to plow snow around that thing.
Hello, Davey.
Well, where's it going?
Blocks.
I mean, there's right no reason over. To... you know, while we have a wet day, if we can drag it where it wouldn't bend it, even if you flipped it over so that it's dragging, you know, where it's a mat, and drag that thing and smooth the road all the way to the pond.
Where are you going to put it?
Right below the spring tank.
To keep cows from going up the hill or something like that, I guess.
So I think that was the plan. There was
come off Meadow Canyon Road, cross that cattle guard to the upper pond, and then cross another cattle guard before you go up to the cabins to keep cows out of the pond area and the pavilion.
There's
the spring.
I think what they were talking about was having a meadow area.
I think it's to keep cows in the pond area.
There was the section, the meadow. There was the
going
in between the meadow and
the cabins.
And the ponds, and then there was the ponds. There was that three areas that we were looking at building that fence up. One of the things is to keep the cows away from that spring tank. There was talk about building a fence around there, but why not just fence that whole thing and have another area containment for the cows?
Okay, so what about... So you've got one made. Do we have materials to make a second one?
I don't think we have enough to make a second one.
And
as far as the first one, it's when I get some time, I could throw some more pipe down and get them down. I'm on my way to getting it finished, though.
Well, I think we should be on the look for when we can run across materials. We'd still like to have two or three cattle guards where we've got gates and fences now. If we run into a winter project, that would still be a good one.
Yeah, and that's something that if we're getting deep snow, we may be able to budget and have time January and February to set up and weld and
do it. We'll leave it on the agenda. BLM grazing dates, I think we got to be out by November 15th. And Hunt, I think, is going to bring the cows down again to Deer Springs Point area sometime when feed looks weak up in the meadow, if that happens.
What about the Johnsons?
The Johnsons are going to be out by October, end of October.
Okay.
And
their cows are down around headquarters right now, and it's... I push them up to Half Moon Reservoir and they come back. And don't know what's wrong with the feed up there, but they're not looking skinny, but they're just wandering.
They say it's getting cold. It's time to go home.
Okay.
Okay, irrigation management. I think most of these items here need either Clark or Larry to work on. And so, Dale, I'm going to kind of give this whole category to you to shepherd, if that's all right. You know, some of the head gates that still need a little bit of coordination. When Clark Lamb comes up there, you know, you can coordinate with him what he should do. And
do you know what Clark's schedule may be?
No, and you're welcome to call and bug him. And I've asked him, and I kind of wonder even if he's forgot by now that he's still needed up there. So we can both kind of pester him.
Great.
I didn't catch who.
Clark Lamb?
Yeah.
Clark Lamb.
There's a couple sewer pipe in there.
Okay. Roads and fire protection. New culverts where they're needed most, and when do we want to install them?
This is what Brent sent me for the agenda.
For winter, so.
That's what he's talking about right there.
Yeah, let me see.
Is Brent not coming in?
Get some of those installed.
I know there's a couple spots on Meadow Canyon up higher above the ponds that can definitely need culverts. And I think getting with Dale and Larry and Brent and kind of discussing which ones are priority.
Are those still on the trailer?
They still are.
Where we, you know, going and then kick them off where they go, or but well, again, we got to have them installed.
I think finding a place to put them. I was thinking behind my house, but then Brent was saying that I could put them up at his place. I definitely don't want to put them by the boneyard. They'll end up walking away.
Right. You've got to have them where you can keep an eye on them there. They're light enough. I think just right there behind the ranch house against the fence.
By the well?
Up there?
Or by the well, Phil?
I just had Phil Hall take all his pipe out of there and still kind of work on getting that other pipe up, like you said, building those things up. I don't mind putting them out there. It's not a problem. I was trying to get that cleaned up there a little bit, but I could put them there. It's no problem.
Just
stuff out of the way.
Much less visible there than behind your house.
Right.
Now, if you go back behind the well to the east where some of that roofing material and stuff was stacked, where and you won't even see it from the road, I mean, and I think that's fine. I don't mind having some of the ranch stuff there. I do a little bit resist having every member of the ranch's personal stuff there.
Right.
And RVs that are 12 feet tall and stuff, but pipe stacked there a foot or so.
Oh, they clearly left his trailer, so I had Phil Hall. That was the purpose for him to leave it, is to have a trailer long enough to haul that pipe out of there. And Phil got all his pipe out of there. And there's still some 4-inch that I think belongs to the ranch. That I think that thing that you said to build on the side of the fence to hang them up, get them up off the ground.
The aluminum pipe.
Mm-hmm. But as far as like where these new culverts should go, you know, Brent has an idea for them. I have a couple ideas. There's one right by the ranch house that just got washed out. There's some floods, or plugged up. It'll be dug up and cleaned out.
Good deal. So those are kind of things that Brent's working on.
Mm-hmm.
Items 1, 2, and 3. And we'll see how much work can be done in between now and winter.
Brent's not coming in, right?
No. I got out of the hole, got in the truck. I didn't even say goodbye to Nancy. I just left.
Did you see Mike? Because he just said
that. He just said no.
He says, I just passed him.
Do we need to do any road repair this right now because of rain damage? Or
Minor. I think I could do it with the blade.
Okay, so we're good until spring maintenance.
There is a kind of a deal that I've been battling, that road in between the cabins. A lot of the base washed down, and I mean, we had some serious rains right in that area. A lot of the base washed down. I've tried to generate some to push it back up, but I can't generate enough. And there's some big rock. I've smoothed it out as much as I can without pulling more big rocks up, but I'm not sure possibly getting a truckload or two of material through that. Smooth it up.
It was in bad shape before this last summer.
Right. It's been pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't pull any more out of the ditch.
Dale, when Clark's out there, can you have him just kind of look at that and see if he has any recommendation?
That's a road between 8 and 9 cabins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to build that back up. It's starting to get lower than the culvert that goes under the driveway for 9 and 10. The culvert is exposed. And, you know, I had Alan Steed bring in a truckload of material last year, but it's eventually, you know, it's gradually washing down the hill. But I think a couple of years' time, I think we ought to build that back up.
Good deal. Okay. Ranch activities, Shauna had to leave. I think, you know, that's something that we can discuss more next time.
She just asked me to tell you that there's targets in for sale in the store for people to use on those number 9 ranch activities.
Great.
Yeah.
How's the Desert Fox race?
That's the last one I met.
They were good.
I think it went great.
They were good.
So I think they were pretty happy with the use of the property, and I don't think that they were disrespectful with anything. So.
And did they pay something?
Yeah, I've got an accounting here from them. They paid $8 per rider, and they had 155 riders, so whatever that works out to be.
$1,200 or something.
So
yeah, that's good.
They'll be sending a check for that, as well as they book some cabin time.
So does that go on our plus?
You know what? It should.
Yeah, $1,200 more. That would.
We'll add that.
Okay.
So that might give us another $1,200 to add for our other projects. And we paying at least $800 for the cabins and stuff. So we.
Did you get my email?
But I went back through.
Does any of that go to the ranch though?
An assessment, some of the assessments.
So it'll still be coming in. So we have another $2,000 there.
Good.
So, yeah. Happy day.
Yep.
Quick.
Good thinking.
Can I need the fuel?
No.
I get maybe.
I'm talking
following those.
Paul, we'll talk to you about fuel.
Okay.
After. Because I don't want another hour of meeting.
Right.
If that's all right.
Thank you.
Maybe I just got here.
You and Paul can stay in for hours and hours and hours and hours. And, okay, so that takes us to...
Are they thinking of doing it next year?
Oh, yeah. I think they'd want to do it every year.
No.
I think...
They don't want to do it every year.
Every other year.
Well, no. What it is, and I talked to, I forgot the guy's name, but Charlie, and they would love to do it every year, but they don't want to overrun the course and destroy the land. I told him, I said, well, we can go off your course a little bit and do another course, something like that. But they don't like doing it year after year after year because it ends up destroying everything.
Were you happy with the outcome of the fall? Did you see it as a positive or negative?
I was.
Should we try to find other things like this at venues or not?
I like it personally, and I know some other owners enjoyed it. There were a few owners that kind of expressed their concern
mm-hmm.
as far as, well, we don't need this out here. But I told them, I kindly said, well, it's just one day out of the year.
But wasn't there concern before it even happened?
Yeah.
I haven't
right.
heard a single complaint
no, there's,
about
anything. I've heard
they just don't like the idea of it.
Right.
Right.
Well, there were a couple horseback riders that were out that were really bothered by the noise and the
right.
concern, and they was.
Yeah, it's something that we've tried. We've, got to continually, announce it early enough that people that are coming to the ranch, that if they're there that weekend and to have horseback ride, it's going to be dusty and
it was on the website
yep.
for months.
Yep.
Everybody knew about it.
$1,200 is a nice one-day thing.
The two people that it affected, as far as lot owners, they were okay with it. In years past, it went through one Rod Johnson's property, and he talked to Charlie, and Charlie said, no problem, we'll take it over here, and it all worked out good. The other lot owner was Dave Cadell, and he was happy with the way things went. There was a couple things that happened. Part of their trail went through some of the ditching that we have up by the windmill, by Half Moon Reservoir.
Move these up under here.
And so
the
ditch got filled up
okay.
with silt, and they didn't come back through and dig it back out. And this last rain, it kind of bottled up there and went over the road instead of running down the ditch. But other than that, they picked up all their trash. I'd say there was 1,000 people there.
Wow.
There was probably 200 motorcycles, plus little kids and their motorcycles. I think there was 160-some riders.
155 or something.
That participated. To have that many people and then go back through and find zero trash, I think that's pretty good.
And all 150
they tried
the same trail? It's just one trail? Is it
there was two different heats. There were some younger guys that didn't do the whole 17-mile deal. They did a shorter route. But
is it wide enough for a four-wheeler? Is it only
no, it's a single track.
But it does churn it into dust enough, like you said. You'll see it, and it'll heal up, but if they did it every year and every year, we would have more of an erosion problem. So let it heal up and stuff. But if we put them in the right place and have them run some of the irrigation ditches and stuff, then it does help. It was misfortunate this year that within a week of them being there, then it rained,
right.
a heavy rain, and, usually that wouldn't happen. We'd go along and clean out some of the areas.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Okay.
Nothing major happened.
Okay.
Did anyone get hurt?
There's a few. They can't race without a EMTs there, so they have the ambulance. And I kind of stuck with them a little bit. I lent them the ranch rhino. They can't take the ambulance down to where these guys wreck, so they took the rhino. And
they always have a couple of rhinos. We've had some pretty major.
There's a guy.
Punctured lungs and life flighted people and stuff.
There's a guy, his collarbone popped out like this, and a couple cuts, and it was a good time. But I set him up the little canopy that I borrowed and brought him some water. They had a good time.
Okay, item 10, legal and public safety. Ben, I've taken two items at the very end of the agenda here
okay.
and moved them up there and made this your category.
Okay.
So the purchase of dead-end road sites for the ranch and also corrections for the deed restrictions, if you could work with Barry and follow up with that, I've already talked to him some.
Okay.
And the county zone change, I know you're aware of, and if you can kind of shepherd those things a little bit.
Okay. I'll get with Paul on outside meeting time and get an update where we are on signs and start working.
You can talk to me about time.
Okay.
Okay, ranch manager's report, fencing guidelines we've gone over, the county celebration and races.
Well, how did they take back Utah all the week before?
It was good. Not as many people as we expected.
Be on TV this weekend.
You know, we were in the paper and good exposure for the ranch. Had a guy fly in.
Commissioner Hayden.
No, Commissioner Hayden. Mike Lee didn't
fly in. Oh, fly in at the airstrip. Mm-hmm. Right. So they called me and said, hey, Mike Lee's sitting at the airport. Can you take him to the ranch? I was in Phoenix.
I can fly to 8 hours.
And Matt was in Salt Lake, and he was panicked. I don't know what he called. Shauna
was already out there.
Somehow he got out there because he was the keynote speaker.
Mark Abishaw was there. Mike Noel was there. Mike Lee was there. I was there, of course. It was good. It was good. About 50 people, 60 people showed up.
So if you want to see it, you can watch a show called At Your Leisure. It's on Saturday night and Sunday morning on two or three stations. Search for it.
Do you know what time that is? KSL or...
It's 2, 4, or 5. I mean, it's one. I don't know.
Or it's 14.
I think it's 5.
I can't remember.
No, the main program's on either channel 2, 4, or 5. It's ABC, NBC, or CBS. One of the main. I think it's 9:30 or yeah, it may be 10:30 or something on Saturday night, and then again on Sunday morning. You have Dish Network. Did you just look in there for AYL at your leisure? Taboo.
Decks on cabins 2 and 4?
Completed.
Good deal.
You've got some great pictures.
Yeah, I got it.
Looked at.
Take it off.
Nice. Okay.
Water system?
Water system, we're still dealing with. The plan, as for now, is to start digging out the rest of the water line where we're going to put the PRV and place it sometime this next week. It's already built. Ready to go in. It's just a matter of timing with the backhoe operator. But the plan is Monday to start digging it out.
Good.
And what we're going to do is we're going to put it in and build kind of a temporary vault just to get us through the winter. And then something on. I don't think it's going to be a whole lot, but next year I'd like to build a permanent vault to put there. Nothing that you walk in, just something cinder block type
right.
Vault. And then...
I think we should do that this year, if we can.
We have... Yeah.
You're going to have to put the PRV valve on something. And,
Either that or do a really good temporary one because it'll be there forever.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, we have these insulated panels that have been floating around the ranch for years.
Well, but even if
we're going to do something like that.
You know, some of them, once it's dug out and placed and put it on a good gravel pad and then just almost by hand dig footings and stack cinder block, not grout them, just stack them. Put rebar in them, pound down in, and then solid grout them so they're solid full. Then you can anytime now, and you can just lay one of those on now or whatever to put build some kind of a lid for it.
Right. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do it, but it'll be something to get us through until we can build something permanent. Right now, I'm dealing with a timing issue.
I know, but every step you can make, because
yep.
I agree with Dave. 6 years later, we'll be saying, yep, we should have done that right when we did it.
Did you see the pictures of the water tank?
Mm-hmm.
The water tank's done. It's cured, ready
right.
to go. I haven't filled it up yet, just because the PRV isn't in place.
Well, and so we got to get it burned.
Yeah. How do we... Are we going to end up hiring somebody to bring truckloads of material in?
Clark Lamb, hopefully, will go up there with his dozer and scratch it up.
Okay.
What's the pressure from the 40,000-gallon tank down to the PRV? How much
it's elevation? Close to 200. Oh, how much elevation?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
What's the pressure?
It's about around 200 PSI.
Well, that would mean a 400-foot drop.
It's not 400 foot drop.
Isn't it
6 pounds
pressure per foot?
So it's
it's
over a mile, 4-inch pipe.
Yeah, but it only matters. Linear, the elevation is the only, it doesn't matter how many miles, it's only the elevation drop.
Yeah.
But is it about half a pound per foot?
Half a pound per foot.
It can be 400 feet in between the tank and the ranch house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly could be the ranch house. I mean, definitely the ranch house
where we get 200 pounds.
That's a mile and a half, isn't it?
I bet Vance has an altimeter that can tell you what the exact...
I got Google Earth, and I can put the little cursor right on
there
all the things.
There you go.
And tell us right.
Yeah, we open there and look and have it within 5 feet.
Okay.
With the GPS, right.
Well, if you guys want the elevations, I got them right here.
Okay.
Sure, spout them out.
Okay, tank elevation 6531. Junction with the 2-inch where the culvert is, where it heads down to the well, 6378. Lowest elevation at the ranch, HQ 6240. So, 4/10 of a pound per foot.
That's only a 300-foot drop.
From 10.
6531 less 6240 if we didn't have the regulator in there.
So that's 155 pounds.
That's 291 vertical feet. That's at 4/10 of a pound per inch. It's actually closer to 4/10 than it is 5/10. Right around 120 pounds.
Okay. Any other items there, Paul?
We need
to Google it. We got fans.
I have a few items. Maybe we could talk about it in the budget review or...
You would have had to been here a couple hours ago to do that.
We already did that. We did that first.
So now's the time that you can bring up anything because we're getting very close to the end of this meeting.
Okay. As many of you guys know, you're all aware of the ranch truck and the situation of the ranch truck.
Mm-hmm.
Eats gas, I do and believe. It's one of the reasons why we bought the Rhino, which... has worked out great. The ranch truck, I took it to Cedar City, hauled the ranch trailer. I brought a pallet of concrete and some other materials, and I almost didn't make it back. I went through almost 2 tanks of fuel. So anyway, the ranch truck, it doesn't haul for anything. Just chews up gas. there's been an offer that has been given to the ranch of a 93 Dodge with a brand new 12-valve Cummins diesel engine, which would probably get about 20 to 25 miles to the gallon. Could probably haul just about anything that we'd ask it to do. And then there's another truck. He's asking $4,000 for the Dodge, and $1,000 for the white Chevy. It's almost just like the... it's almost like the ranch truck, but it has a stake bed on the back, and it's a 4-speed.
And how much will he pay us for the ranch truck?
So my suggestion is we sell the ranch truck for $2,500 and sell the Ford for $500, and he said that he would take 2 payments of $2,500, one now and one next year, which would give us time to sell the ranch truck and the Ford, and somewhat come out even this year and come up with $2,500 next year.
So I think that's a good plan because I think we're spending way too much money on maintaining them.
Well,
does that give us a unleaded truck to drive to Traun and be around here and the diesel that's going to pull heavy and we run red diesel in it out there?
Is it cheaper and we just leave it out on the dirt roads?
Well, you can still run red diesel. You just register it as a farm vehicle.
Because a lot of the miles and stuff are out there or that are not on the paved roads.
Yeah, if a policeman stops you and you have a diesel and truck on the roads, you're in trouble.
If it's registered as a farm vehicle.
Farm license plate.
A good example of this is we could have taken this truck, which we couldn't have taken the ranch truck, to Phoenix to pick up all this culvert.
Yeah, you wouldn't have made it up the flag.
I would have made it. I wouldn't have made it back.
Yeah.
Well, I think it sounds like a good opportunity. The trucks are Brent's, so I think he's making us a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah.
He takes good care of his stuff.
I think it's something that would help us manage for a lot of years into the future.
What year is the Dodge?
The 93. It does have a brand, rebuilt Cummins 12 valve.
He just put in it not long ago.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Another example of the ranch truck, there was, you guys know Tug? Lot 75, something like that. I was supposed to go up there and check on something. I couldn't get the ranch truck up to his place. His driveway is a little steep and rugged, but that truck should make it. There's no reason why that truck couldn't make it. Should make it.
Okay, so basically, if you can make this wash with no money this year, and 2,500 into next year, I think that's a good plan. Doesn't everybody think so?
Well, if we take gas on it too, that's going to reduce
the sooner
cost
we do it, the better. And the more we run this thing, if we get in snow in the winter with no power in it and end up burning something out, then we're
So I would say we.
I do have to make one request. If we do pick up this truck, it is going to need a set of tires.
It what?
It is going to need a set of tires.
When?
Probably before it snows.
Well, there's our $1,200. Didn't we say, we just saved that? No, we just spent it.
Well,
how
we already saved it and spent it once.
Here's how I see about savings. I don't know if you guys saw the bill for Kerry Houston. I worked with that guy to talk him down to do whatever it takes. I got my kids in the tank chipping that stuff away to try and save a penny on that tank. Not that I was surprised when I got the bill. I really was.
How low it was.
How low it was, yeah.
If we would have had to charge a fee for the number of complaints we had to listen to, it would have been zero.
Yeah.
Good.
Good. I think this is good, and I think that'll make a lot of good headway. So, and I would tend to probably agree we could use part of that $2,000 for tires. Would everybody else agree with
The ones on it so shot they look ugly?
No, I mean, I can get through until it snows.
I mean, do we trade tires around off the one we're going to sell? And, if we're selling cheap vehicles, put the best tires on the one we're going to keep and sell the cheap vehicle with cheap tires?
I think it's a 16 and 17.
Is either one of these a dually?
The ranch truck is a dually.
I know, but
and then the white truck is a dually. Which, that's probably what we're going to do with that truck.
$1,000 one.
We will swap tires out on that truck.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have another.
Okay, let's make a motion probably on this one, I think. Because it probably has some effect on amending the budget. So I would entertain a motion to this effect. If somebody would like to make it.
I can make a motion that we buy, but I'm wondering if the tires would be fine to go through till next spring. I mean, you've looked at them to see.
I haven't looked at them.
Yeah. So
Let's just deal with the truck, and then we'll deal with
the tires, yeah.
See what we got to do. I mean,
I could take the truck, the ranch truck tires off and put them on the white truck, because it's the same size. And it's, I might have a couple spares back in the back corner of the, they're not going to match, which it doesn't matter. But I think for the, it really snows, I think we need a, and I can buy used tires. I'm not opposed to that.
Well, we can find it, but yeah, we can't have bald tires on, you know, so we can't move around up there in the snow.
They're almost shot.
You know, I know the others are 17s, but you know, are they 285?
I think they're 285, 75, 17s.
We have motion. Do we have a second?
Well, no, we don't have motion. We have. I think if you'll continue with your motion, Dale.
What was that? Do we buy the trucks?
Yes.
Yeah, and sell the existing one.
Funds.
Funds, right.
Okay, and sell the existing one.
So we're talking selling the existing ranch truck for
$2,000? $2,000, $2,500, and then selling the Ford.
The old one for $500?
$500. Needs an alternator.
Is that the truck that we talked about? Selling to your son, dude.
Yeah,
right. It has a winch on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the critical thing is if in at all possible, if we're going to just put it here in town with a for sale sign, if we can do it now before the deer hunt, there'd be people looking for mm-hmm. some wood getter, beater trucks mm-hmm. to go out and deer hunt and get some wood.
I might have the ranch truck sold.
Then, good.
Yeah, I put feelers out already.
Okay.
I mean, I second his motion to sell the two ranch trucks and buy two Brent Fulmer trucks at a $2,500 wash this fall and a commitment for 25 out of the 2011 budget.
Okay.
Any discussion on the motion? Okay, call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
I have one more thing. I've spoken with some people at Wingate. I don't know if you guys are aware that they run
a youth program,
and they're hiking through the mountains along the Skudenpaw. A lot of times, year-round, they come down south, but in the summertime, they're up north around the ranch. They spend a good deal of money on transporting water from town out to there. They've gave me a number of 700 gallons a day. By law, they have to have available for kids or for youth. I told them, I said, I talked to the board about trading water for maybe community service projects, something at the board's discretion.
Fence building?
Nothing.
Thistle chopping.
Thistle chopping, cap and painting, I don't know. I mean, just,
digging out sand that's
just
not
something.
Supposed to be there.
They said 700 gallons a week, which I think is...
So they would have the responsibility to come in and get it, mm-hmm. so I think that sounds great.
Now, is that you said 700 gallons a day?
A day. Yeah. Up to.
That sounds like a good plan.
Sure.
You know, and I as far as hours per gallons, I'm not sure. I got to...
They're a pretty good group. I think we just need to decide and always have a project available.
Right.
Because the problem is I think they are there for about a week. So it's not like they're out there for a month. They have a week, and then, you know, a week and a half later, they have another group for a week or whatever. And there's a guy in our ward that you know, runs with the program, and he was telling me a little bit about how it operated. But, you know, it's so we'd have to have a project they could spend 2 days on or something like
right.
that.
That's like, to have the, you know, times they got 20 kids or something to march up through the metal and cut all the hits by hand.
It's kind of, you know, up mm-hmm. incumbent to us to always have, here's our three projects, and, you know, line them out a little bit so that they don't, you know,
plant and
waste
stuff.
Time. You know,
so we do we need someone in charge of that?
I'm your guy. Now, another suggestion they threw at me is in an emergency situation, if cabins are available, if they could occupy a cabin or two in an emergency.
Well, they you know, this last year when they got snowed in, that's, you know, search and rescue had to go in and snowmobile them out because it snowed that 3-4 feet all in one night, and they couldn't get in or out and find, because they are out there year round. They were down just below the ranch,
yep,
by pasture when they tried to go in and rescue them this last winter. And some of that they would know and be within 5 miles where they would just hike to the ranch.
Right. And I told them, I said, maybe, you know, the availability of cabins might not be there, but you could camp there.
Right. Okay. Sounds good.
I have a question. On this water that they would be hauling, are they coming to us and filling up and taking away? It's not something that you would have to take out to them.
Yeah, they would just come to our culinary water stand.
Do we have to have some sort of a document saying that they are allowed to use that from our culinary water? Is that something that has to happen?
No.
Because of our certification or anything?
If they were a residence or a home, or if they need it, they may ask for it, but we absolutely do not need it.
Okay.
I guess that's it for me.
Okay, good, Paul. We're glad you ran out of items just before we ran out of gas.
Speaking of gas.
Yeah, Dave Turley. We said that the pavilion would be next year,
okay,
before you came, as far as pouring the cement.
All right.
We've got the plans done and got the permit, which proved to be a lot bigger ordeal than we would have ever thought. But we are going to need some I-beams, according to the plans.
Okay.
So we need to be on the look for what those three I-beams are.
24 feet?
Is there a size or a gauge or something?
I don't know. I emailed you the plans.
How many of them are needed? Three?
Three.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're 24 feet. Inch. They're tall, not real big ones, but.
Did you say 4 inch?
I think so. Look at the plans.
Okay.
Didn't I email the whole board the plans?
Yeah, they're right here.
I think I might know where some of those are.
Is that what we need right there?
Yeah, those three green ones.
Yep.
The best be green?
They have to be green. Rusty color.
And she'll be 8 inch by 0.
All right.
Whatever they are, that's
four
what we
inch?
Need.
No, that's the pipe. I don't know what that.
So they went. They were okay with the 4-inch steel pipe.
Yeah,
good deal.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have those already, right?
Yeah, I already purchased those.
I can't. What does that mean? What does it say?
What?
What's the size of the I beams we're supposed to?
It may not even be on the same page. I don't
steel
know.
Beam.
Right, right here. Permanent mm-hmm. clip at steel beam.
Okay. Doors. Door for cabin 6, I guess, is a next-year item as well. Right?
I never purchased them. There was all this talk about getting them at Home Depot, but then it was what size, what, you know, and I got the size, but then it was what style were we going to get.
So that's next year?
That's your department?
Yeah. I'm in charge of that now.
Okay, Ben can tell you the style we're going to get.
Is it going to be a uniform style that we could do, like on cabin, like a garden cabin and dine in?
I think that once we pick one, if we're going to do a ThermaTrue fiberglass door or
there
a metal door, we just try to stay with
right.
ThermaTrue fiberglass door. But we want one that has the windows. Yeah, I think the one that just looks like the old ranch house, you know, has kind
mm-hmm.
of the wood panel square at the bottom and then some top ones that we can, you know, have either solid or cut out those panels to have that, and just like that one. That's
and
a flat metal door, and I cut
Paul,
that window in it.
You email her the dimensions.
Okay.
And Kathy, if you can do a little shopping around for us, see what it's
going to be. The main thing is if you'll go to Weathermaster there in St. George or some of those that have it.
There's a place that Mike come in contact with that has some pretty good deals on doors.
Good. Okay. Wasn't there two doors, though? Six
two
on
six.
Other? Or there are just two on six?
Two on six, as far as I know.
So doors for cabin six.
Well,
two doors.
9 and 10 need to be, and then the garden cabin.
So we need doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're at a point that all those cabins that have original doors really need to be
replaced. Yeah.
but they're not all the same size and stuff. And so, okay, good. All right. Any other business before we go into executive session? Going once. Twice, the attorney? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
I shall move.
A second.
That's what it takes to move. Call for question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any who oppose?